Today on Locked On Red Wings, Detroit is cautiously optimistic about Robbie Fabry's situation ahead of the home-and-home with the Bruins.
You're Locked On Red Wings, your daily podcast on the Detroit Red Wings. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to the Locked On Red Wings podcast. We are your hosts, Brian Fisher and Scotty Bentley. I'm a podcast producer for the Daily J, a WWJ news radio podcast. Well, Scotty's the host over at Locked On Tigers, as well as a freelance journalist for the Detroit News. And you were covering some hockey today, Scotty. I saw the state championships, huh?
Yeah, man. So Thursday night and Friday night are the state semis for Division 1, 2, and 3 for high school hockey in the state. And then Saturday is all day, like starting in the morning and going until late at night. Like all three division state title games are back-to-back-to-back on Saturday. And I'm pretty much living at USA Arena in Plymouth all weekend. Yeah, so.
I'm jealous. I wish that were me. I mean, without the having to write the article part after.
I was going to say.
Watch hockey.
So it's a grind with some deadlines for sure, but it'll be fun.
Absolutely. So in today's episode, guys, mostly segment one here is going to be news and notes. Some stuff got updated. Biggest thing that happened is obviously the Robbie Fabry thing. We'll update you on that. Segment two is going to be a preview for both games because they're playing the same team. So you really don't need to do separate previews. And then segment three, we finished one yesterday, but as it's getting to that time of year where news is starting to like become slower, we're going to finish off with a proper How Do You Feel About It Friday segment because we just don't do enough of those anymore. So we'll start off with the biggest news, which is, well, you want to start with Robbie Fabry then?
Yeah, I think that is comfortably the biggest news and obviously the pressing thing going into the weekend with a home and home there. But yeah, I mean, hearing cautiously optimistic is nice. You know, I feel like if it was, you know, like yesterday we were speculating we were openly speculating, admitting that it was speculation. We weren't being, sloppy with it, but we were talking like if it's an ACL, like that sucks. And it, you know, just seeing him hobble like that was just really rough. So hearing that we're already talking about cautious optimism, like immediately, and you know, he's questionable, I guess. Maybe you'd call it doubtful, but either way, he's not ruled out completely for this weekend set is definitely encouraging. So we'll take it, I think.
Yeah, I'm the tweet word for word from the Detroit Red Wings 10 hours ago, as of recording this right now, was Coach Lalonde says Robbie Fabry is day-to-day lower body, knee, come on now. They are cautious but optimistic, unsure if he'll be available for Saturday. So there's a lot of good news in there. One, I mean, I have to imagine he's had this is the speculation part. I have to imagine he would have had scans done on his knee already and that they came back as negative for any structural damage because they would have known by now if that were the case. So maybe he tweaked it. Maybe he sprained it. Regardless, they're taking it day to day. But it's just weird that an official Red Wings tweet, they're like, they're cautious but optimistic. Like that was a weird phrasing in like an official tweet. And then saying unsure if he'll be available for Saturday.
Yeah, I have to imagine. I felt the same thing, man. Like seeing the official Red Wings Twitter account using that terminology was like objectively weird, right? Like that was like weird to read next to the Detroit Red Wings checkmark Twitter account. I was like, that's weird wording for you to use, but okay.
Just because it's normally so not say this was unprofessional, but it's so like, this is what's happening. Like he's listed as day-to-day.
Yeah, it's like they're the source. So they're, like it's weird. It's like, I don't know. It's like the dude who invented math being like 2 + 2 is probably 4, right?
And not you're sure.
Like, isn't that your thing? Like, what are we talking about?
And like, I should have been elated when I saw that because like the alternative is like done for the season, and then you know what that means.
Oh yeah.
But when I read that, I was like, I'm supposed to be happy about this, right? Because it was so worded so weirdly. They're cautious but optimistic. We're not sure if he's playing Saturday. But regardless, like if this indicates what we believe is to be true, that he did not tear his ACL. Honestly, I don't care if you said he'd probably be doubtful. I would agree with you. Just rest him for like a week. I mean, you're out of the playoff hunt, realistically. You know, there's no real point in risking injury to Robbie Fabry if there's nothing to really play for, if you know what I mean. I mean, there's always something to play for, but at this point in the year, it's a lot less to play for after you sold off at the deadline and you're not really in the playoff race. Because I like Robbie Fabry on this team. Offensively, he is a goal scorer. I think his shooting percentage in this season so far, granted shortened season, is like 19%. He's got like a 19% shooting percentage, which is insane. So doesn't really play a lot of defense, but I want Robbie Fabry healthy. I want him in the lineup in the middle six line winger role because he's fun to watch and he's really easy to root for. So I'm overall happy about the tweet, even though it was worded kind of strangely. So it's good to know that he is just day to day is essentially the end of that.
Long story short, we're also cautiously optimistic because we're being told to be.
Yeah. Right. So the other news, Red Wings made a trade today, selling off more assets. Oh, yeah,
post-trade deadline trades, baby.
Let's go. So they recalled Stephen Compher from the AHL and traded him to the Arizona Coyotes for future considerations. Now, the NHL trade deadline has passed, but that does not mean trades cannot happen. But what it does mean is if you trade a player on an NHL roster to another team, that player cannot play on the NHL roster for the remainder of the regular season or the playoffs. Now, the Coyotes are not making the playoffs. But the trade they made of Stephen Compher to the Arizona Coyotes basically is saying he's going to play in Tucson with the Roadrunners, is what I'm picking up. Now, there could be details I'm missing because when it comes to players playing in the AHL, it's weird. But I went on the AHL's website and they had listed him as recalled before the trade happened. Recalled to Detroit.
Yeah.
So they had to have recalled him to trade him, which means he can't play with the Coyotes. He can only play with Tucson, which may have been the case regardless, but I'm just trying to make sure I vet my details.
Yeah, for sure. It was definitely a little confusing. There was a little bit of a buffer period there where I was beyond confused about how trades were happening post-trade deadline. And there's like, in a lot of sports, there's like weird like speculations and loopholes, not speculations, but weird like loopholes is the phrase to like around like trading. And obviously this isn't an NHL trade and like the rule is he can't play at the NHL level, but it's always weird when you get those type of trades after like the deadline and stuff, because getting a tweet notey about a trade. And I'm like, what are we talking about? 2 hours ago, you're using the terminology cautiously optimistic. Now you're trading people. It's a weird after day for like social media.
Well, and so it rose two questions. One, I mean, this is future considerations is a term that's thrown around so much, and it made me realize what even is future considerations. Like you're trading assets for another asset, but this asset isn't an asset. It's just two words on a piece of paper.
Yeah, it's
like, is there actual any?
There's a lot of
weight?
Stipulations with it. Yeah, it's like, you know, sometimes they can come back and ask for whatever, like X amount of money. And, you know, like people, obviously the Wings know, like people have been traded for a dollar before. Like, you know what I mean? Like there's definitely stuff like that. But there's also, you know, like it's really common in baseball, but the player to be named later thing is definitely a thing sometimes too. So I don't know, like whoever gets anything good from future assets, nothing. But very much not the point. I mean, if we're talking about the point, we were talking about a little bit off air and you brought up a good point where it's probably just to make room for some promotions or some college kids, I would imagine, in the second half of the year here.
Yeah, so because my big question is why would they even make this trade? You signed Stephen Compher to an NHL contract in the offseason. He's played the bulk majority, if not the entire season in Grand Rapids. I don't think he may have gotten recalled to the NHL briefly during that when the Red Wings were plagued with injuries earlier in the season. I can't even remember. I have a vague recollection that happened, but I can't recall, and I don't care right now to look it up, to be honest, see if he played one or two games with the Red Wings. But after they traded him, they did recall, I saw on the AHL page, Kirill Tuyatayev. That's a name that's hard to pronounce, and it's weird that I can nail that, but not Chasen. But they recalled him from the ECHL to the AHL. But I would imagine that the Red Wings made this trade either for the veteran rule or they're going to start gunning for some college free agents, and they needed a roster spot. Because I struggle to see where the Arizona Coyotes would look at Stephen Kompfer and go, we need this guy. You know what I mean? No disrespect to Stephen Kompfer. He does wear an A with the Grand Rapids Griffins, but you know, that's a weird trade to make just for the Tucson Roadrunners.
Yeah. I mean, agreed, but like it's Arizona. So
yeah, but it's not like a cap dump trade. I don't understand it. So my number one reason has got to be they're trying to make room for Kirill Tuyatayev, which they did to get him more minutes, or they're trying to make room for a college free agent. They're going to gun for one because that's coming up here soon. Those are my two theories.
Agreed.
Okay. I mean, when we come back,
we're breaking down an AHL trade. I mean, sure. Same.
That's a good point. When we come back, we'll give you the one last bit of news and notes, and then we'll preview the game against the Boston Bruins. Games against the Boston Bruins, and follow that up with segment three. How do you feel about it Friday? But first, I got to talk to you guys today about FanDuel. It's the midway point of the NBA season, and now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if you don't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Then you bet on everything from the money line to point scores and threes drained. Now, Scotty, I bet on the NHL. We know this. I bet on three games again.
How did the Ducks do yesterday?
They lost in overtime. They crushed me. That was the last leg of my parlay.
How heartbreaking is that for you, dude?
That was not. I didn't appreciate that. So right now, two of the three games that I have bet on have finished. And I took LA Kings road dogs against the Avalanche. They won 5-2. That's a win. I took the San Jose Sharks road dogs against the Blues. Lost 4-2. I thought that one was a shot in the dark. Now, the San Jose Sharks,
you should
metrics,
stop betting on the teams that are literally trying as hard as they can to get Bedard.
Listen, the Sharks 5v5 metrics, the last 10 games are actually really impressive.
So, was their win against St. Louis impressive?
That's uncalled for.
Oh, okay. I was just wondering.
But the one that could end up making me money in the end is if the Ottawa Senators can beat the Seattle Kraken, and it's tied 3-3 in the second intermission right now. So we'll know by the morning.
I like this. If I'm gonna make a profit. This side segment where you tell us, like, obviously we recorded the night before, and you tell us, like, oh, this is where this game is right now, and then every single morning it wakes up as a loss. This is like my new favorite segment.
Oh man, let's hope not, because I need the money. Plus, FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with the same game parlay. Don't miss the chance to get your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you get FanDuel.com/lockdown. That's FanDuel.com/lockdown to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA.
You're really good at transitioning out of that.
Thanks, buddy. Segment two, Lockdown Red Wings podcast. You know, I kind of do that. Like, this today was intentional.
Oh, for sure.
Today was for
dramatic. No, effect. For sure.
Come on, didn't it sound?
No,
like,
yeah,
you know what?
No.
I'm sure not giving you the satisfaction of this argument. I'm not. Jacob Vrana scored for the St. Louis Blues. That's the last piece of news and notes for you guys. Just a good for him, man. I hope that he continues to play.
You see the comments? That like the Blues made about Vrana joining the staff or the team and everything.
I saw Armstrong say a few things.
Yeah, I think that's probably the same thing. But yeah, probably. Just like cool to see the organization like excited about him and stuff.
Excited about him and like willing to give him the opportunity, which is so nice. And then it was a nice goal. I mean, he got the puck like super short side on the goal line, was able to put it over the pad from the goal line in close quarters. He had like 2.2 seconds to make that play happen and he scored on it. So it's just, I'm rooting for him. I don't care that we got a 7th round pick. I don't care that we got Dylan McLaughlin. I just want Vrana to succeed. I really do. It's a personal thing for me. I just want him to do well.
I think everybody does. Yeah.
All right, Scotty, let's move into our game previews against the Boston Bruins.
So here's your preview. Okay. They're unstoppable.
They got stopped.
I know
last
they lost very recently, but like, I don't care. They're still unstoppable. And not only are they unstoppable, we have to watch them be unstoppable with Bertuzzi in a Bruins jersey. And I'm not very confident.
Nor should you be. Let's be honest.
Usually we have some metrics where we're like, oh, you know, look at this. Like, Boston's really good at this, and the Red Wings are, or like Team X is like good at this and bad at this, and the Red Wings could, you know, like really attack that area and be really good. Like, there's really none of that. Like, the Boston Bruins are an absolute juggernaut. They are destroying nearly everyone in their path, and they got better at the deadline via your hand. So, it's going to be a tough pill to swallow. It's probably going to be a tough couple of nights, but
I love Bert, but please don't score your first goal as a Bruin against the Red Wings. He's gonna have two shots in back-to-back nights. Please, just,
he's gonna do it. What are we talking about? He's gonna
spare me it. Give me mercy. So yes, they went into the game against the Edmonton Oilers riding a 10-game win streak, but thankfully the Oilers downed them 3-2, so we don't got to worry about ending this weekend with a 12-game win streak for the Boston Bruins. But they are 9 points. They are 9 points ahead of the second place team in the league, which is the Carolina Hurricanes. They have 103 points in 63 games played. They have 19 more games to expand on an already 103 point season. They lost to the Edmonton Oilers that just happened on Thursday night. Was their 10th regulation loss of the season. 10th regulation loss.
Crazy, ain't it?
It's the middle of March. There's a month left of the season.
So actually on that, off air, we were talking about like the sadness chart or whatever, and we're going to talk about it on Monday, I think. The Bruins aren't even on it. They're literally not even on that. Like the Wings, it's this chart that's supposed to calculate, you know, like a fun thing that calculates, you know, how sad each fan base is. And the Red Wings lead the league in sadness and whatever. But the Bruins are literally not even on the list because they've been so good this year. Are you going to sneeze? Oh, dude. Just exposing you. He muted his mic and sneezed, guys. He's very unprofessional. But they're literally not even on the list. Like, they're less than 1% of, like, sadness rating. So they're not even on the graph. That's how unbelievable they've been, yeah.
Yeah, via Hockey Viz, if you guys want to check it out on Twitter. Yeah. It's radical. You should check out where the Red Wings lay on there. But the Boston Bruins are led by David Pastrnak, 86 points in 63 games, 45 goals. Dude, 45 goals in 63 games for David Pastrnak.
Yeah, he got paid.
Yeah, he got paid. He's got 19 more games. He's going to get he might get 60 goals, Scotty.
Yeah, and be a really good defensive forward. He's nuts, man.
And then Brad Marchand is second on the team, 55 points in 55 games played. David Krejci's got 51 points in 58 games played. Patrice Bergeron, the Ages Wonder.
Play, and like Marchand and Bert being like nice to each other makes me sad. Seeing them on the same team and not like consistently fighting just makes me sad.
This team is ridiculous, though. I mean, just the clout that these players have, even if they're not performing this year, which they mostly are. I mean, Pastrnak, Marchand, Krejci, Bergeron, Pavel Zacha, Charlie McAvoy, Hampus Lindholm, Jake DeBrusk, Taylor Hall, Charlie Coyle, Dmitry Orlov, Tyler Bertuzzi. And that's just the players. Anton Strahlman, Dan Renouf.
The GOAT.
I don't know if Dan Renouf's playing with them right now, but he played the king. He played one game this season with the Boston Bruins, so I doubt he's going to be playing.
Yeah, tomorrow. If they win the cup, guess who's getting a ring, dude? Dan Renouf.
But then goaltending, it's like they're just as big of a juggernaut. They got Linus Ullmark as their starter in 39 games played. He's got a .938 save percentage.
Is there any duo close to them?
No, I don't think so. Jeremy Swayman is their backup with 27 games played, 917 save percentage.
Yeah, I think there are obviously single goalies that are that are better in a vacuum. But as far as tandems and duos go, I think it's pretty comfortably the best in the league. And honestly, there's an argument it has been for years.
I think Linus Ullmark is a lock to win the Vezina at this point because of just everything that team's doing as a whole. I mean, I think Ilya Sorokin's getting underrated by a lot of player teams.
Outside of, like, McDavid's going to win the Hart, but, like, outside of that, we might just see a ton of Bruins win, like, a lot of awards.
Yeah. It's disgusting. This Bruins team is stacked beyond belief.
And it's funny because, like, going into the season, people are like, is this the year they're going to fall off, including us?
We talked about it. Everyone talks about it. But then
because it's every year. Every single year, we're like, all right, well, surely they can't be good again.
And then, see, sure they enough, did exactly what the Red Wings did back when the Red Wings were really good. Remember, in the 90s, early 2000s, their core was aging, people were like, okay, they're going to fall off. 2002 was supposed to be like the last hurrah. But then Pavel Datsyuk and Henrik Zetterberg came out of nowhere and took over the really mantle, then Nicholas Lidstrom was ageless. Oh, who's ageless right now on the Boston Bruins? Patrice Bergeron. They have the new era, like David Pastrnak coming in to usher in more greatness. They're a team that, like the Red Wings back in those days, people were expecting to fall off, but then new players came in and carried the next generation of success. So, and now goaltending, it's Linus Ullmark and Jeremy Swayman. I mean, they might be set to actually, I don't know, it depends, because losing Bergeron and Krejci is going to be a blow when that does happen, but Pastrnak is Pastrnak, and I think they'll be in the playoff mix as long as he's scoring 45 goals a season.
Agreed.
So, I don't know if you want metrics, Scotty. I mean,
I think I'm good.
Where do they even rank? Oh, Boston Bruins are 17th in Corsi 4 percentage. Okay. All right. Just don't ask me the Red Wings are. 28th in the league. So, I'm actually shocked they're that far down. They must have really good special teams.
Well,
where are they ranking expected goals 4 percentage? Why am I struggling to find them right now? I'm blind. Oh, they're 7th in expected goals for. So their shot selection is phenomenal. So, all right. Anything else for this preview?
Honestly,
what's the goal? Survive?
The thing with that team, like, it's not the most dynamic offense you've ever seen. I mean, there's a team out there with Connor McDavid on it. Like, it's not the most crazy, creative, dynamic offense ever. It's insane how good defensively their forwards are. Like, that specific, like, niche thing to be good at is what the Boston Bruins are good at. They have just unbelievable forward defense, and it never fails to amaze me.
Well, and also, to be fair, they do score a lot as well.
No, okay. Yeah, I wasn't trying to make it sound like they have a bad offense. I'm just saying there are more dynamic offenses in the NHL currently. It's just, they have a really good offense and just play, such high IQ hockey.
They're third in the league in goals for at even strength, but first in goals against at even strength with 89, the lowest in the league. I wonder what the shots for versus shots against are. That's literally the Corsi 4%. No, it's shot attempts. But, I mean, yeah, defensively they're very good and they do score a lot. I mean, it's a winning combination, without a doubt.
How when you don't give up a lot of goals and you score a lot of goals, you tend to be a really good hockey team.
Yeah, it's weird how that works. Red Wings should take notes.
This is the analysis people come here for.
Yeah. The objective in these two games, Scotty, is survive.
Yep. Agreed.
So, when we come back, we'll do How Do You Feel About a Friday. Stay tuned. Lockdown Red Wings. All right, Scotty, segment 3, Lockdown Red Wings podcast. Let's end this week on a lighter note. I actually came prepped with exactly one How Do You Feel About a question. I'll have to ad-lib anyone past that. But on Saturday, I'm going to a hockey game. The Motor City Rockers out of Fraser, or Big Boy Arena, as it's called now.
Love it.
How do you feel about independent professional hockey, and how do you feel about the Motor City Rockers?
Very pro on both fronts. Independent, like,
you're pro-pro?
Independent pro sports is electric. Like, they are awesome. And Hockey does a great job with it. Baseball does a great job with it. And there's plenty of both of those two sports, specifically at the independent level in Michigan. Like, there's so much fun indie league stuff with hockey, obviously, as you mentioned there. And then there's like the USPBL with baseball and stuff. Like, it's awesome, and it's my favorite thing, and I am jealous. I'm gonna be watching hockey too on Saturday, I guess, but that really is. It's unbelievably cool. So yeah, very much pro.
Did you know that I actually used to call what?
You asked if I knew.
Oh, okay. Did you know I used to call play-by-play for USPBL?
I feel like I did, because I worked there at the same time as you.
Oh, that's right.
And we didn't know each other, though.
Were we both interns, or were you an employee?
I was an employee.
Oh, I was an intern.
They had me carrying kegs all over the ballpark.
Yeah, you were an employee. Although they,
I was working in like the warehouse in left field. Like, so I was the person like dollying stuff, because they were like, "You're huge. You're gonna do this."
I was So that was 2017, which was their second season. The first
that's the summer Mammoths. I worked there. Yeah.
Yeah. 2017. And I did play by play that year. The first play by play gig I've ever had. It was a really fun summer. And plus, because I was a play by play intern, whenever the rain delay happened, I didn't have to help get the tarp on the field because I was in the booth calling games in the AC booth.
I remember
the other interns had to.
I remember talking to all the other workers about how the bald play by play guys sucked.
Hey, be nice.
I'm kidding. But that was dots we connected way down the road.
Yeah.
Because like a couple of years, well, obviously a couple of years later after we worked there, but I think like a year into us like knowing each other, I remember somebody I worked with there and was like followed you on something. And I was like, oh, wait, how do you know him? And then
I won't say
like,
his last name, but Connor, right?
Yeah, dude.
Shout out Connor.
That's the dog. Yeah, it was super funny. So it's funny. Yeah, I totally forgot we had that connection, that we both literally worked there at the same time and didn't know each other yet. Yeah, USPBL, though, great place to watch a ball game, man.
We got to watch Randy Dobnak before he went big league.
Yeah, there's a few. Not as much. He's definitely the biggest, like, MLB level guy, but they have, I think, into the 20s at this point, like dudes that have ended up being at least reached the minor league level. Like they have a solid little pipeline they're creating over there in Utica, Michigan.
Plus, it's a nice little ballpark. I like it.
It is. It was very cool.
Cheap.
Yeah.
That's why you support your independent leagues, because they're affordable.
it's awesome. It's so like candid and family friendly too and everything. Yeah. Great time. How do you feel?
Oh God, he's looking around the room.
I have no clue, dude. How do you feel about? I'm literally, full disclosure, going to the trending page on Twitter.
You are killing me right now.
I have no clue. I don't know, bro. I have no clue.
How about this? I'll ask you. How do you feel about the NHL All-Star Game or draft coming to LCA? Coming to LCA.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, there's definitely been some comments made by perhaps someone we're about to play this weekend about, you know, it being in Detroit and everything. And that's obviously, you know, Detroit versus everybody we ball. But no, I'm pumped, man. It's super cool, too, because like the NFL draft is here soon too, right? So a lot of fun things on the way. Hopefully the teams can follow suit and actually start kind of heading in the right direction there.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the fans deserve it. I think the arena is beautiful. You know, I have thoughts about certain unfulfilled promises and how there maybe shouldn't be a reward for unfulfilled promises, but I think the fans deserve it. I won't say which. I'm sure people can infer what I'm talking about.
I'm sure they can.
Yeah. So I think it'd be really cool. And I think it'd be a great thing for the city and for the, like I said, the fan base. Scott, you find anything yet?
How do you feel about anime music lately?
It's great. Always has been.
It's still great. There's been, you know, they're keeping Tabbed on it, and the new releases have been fire.
I'm telling you, man, they're nothing but bangers. 24/7. You should listen to the.
What's the new like hit thing in the anime music world?
Hold on, let me pull up my Spotify playlist.
Oh, all right, let's do it. I'm ready.
I'm not gonna play it.
No,
I'm gonna get copyright.
No,
yeah. Oh, dude, the Vinland Saga second opening, River by Anonymous. That's a banger.
Of course, dude.
That's a banger. You got Boca Rano, which is the new theme song for My Hero Academia by Eve. It's a banger.
Totally know all that. Yep. Mm-hmm. So cool.
And then pretty much any of the Chainsaw Man endings, because each individual episode had a new ending with a new song.
Yeah, I really like all the end. Like 1, 2, 3, and 4, all the endings are great.
4 was really good. That was In the Back Room by Secret.
Yeah,
that was really
4 good. Is my favorite too.
See,
yeah.
What's interesting about that one, Scotty, is that it was sung by a Vocaloid. It wasn't a real person, but the Vocaloid AI technology has come so far that you wouldn't know it's not real until you hear it, until somebody tells you.
I mean, I've seen it a million times. I didn't know it wasn't real. So, like, yeah.
Did you expect to get this serious of answers?
No, I'm glad I did. I asked for a reason. It's a very well thought out question there.
Good. How do you feel about the DC animated universe, as in like the original Batman animated series, Justice League, Justice League Unlimited? The reason I ask is because I've recently committed to rewatching it all the way through because it holds up.
Wow, respect. So growing up, I was a huge Justice League guy for
Hell
sure
yeah.
when I was younger. I have friends that are way more like better equipped to like talk, have that conversation. I've never been even though I just said when I was younger, I was a big Justice League guy. In my adult life, I guess I'll say I definitely have not kept up nearly as much as I did when I was a kid, but I'm glad that you say it held up, because growing up, I loved all of it. Like the Justice League like was my thing. So hearing that it held up, maybe I'll have to regrind those as well. Some of those are bangers, man.
What's interesting is how what helps it help blah, 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 blah. What helps it hold up. Too many H's in there; it messed me up. What helps it hold up, I think, is its themes. You know, even though the fact that it's despite the fact that it's a children's animation television show cartoon, it's got very adult themes, and the animation for especially the original Batman animated series, which began airing in 92, the animation is actually pretty solid compared to its contemporaries. So, I mean, it deals with some really heavy themes. I mean, hell, it's Batman. So his parents died.
Correct.
I mean, it's been holding up. I've been liking it a lot. And then obviously as it goes on, it gets better, because then it becomes Justice League Unlimited. You get Batman Beyond, Static Shock, all that good stuff.
Justice League rocked, man. Yeah. I wonder if I still have them. I'd have to go searching in some.
They're all on HBO Max if you have the app.
Okay. Yeah, that's sick. That's dope. Shout out Justice League, man. Yeah.
You want to talk about number one anime opening all time, the original Batman opening?
Agreed.
It's not an anime. I was expecting you just went with it.
I don't know anything about the world of anime. I just take whatever you say as gospel. So.
Good. You should.
Yeah.
Do you got anything else?
How do you feel about Crocs?
I've never personally, you know what? I won't even say I've never owned a pair. I've never worn a pair of Crocs in my entire life.
You should feel bad about that. I'm rocking a pair of Crocs literally right now.
Oh, yeah, I got some moccasin slippers on.
Dude, ignore how large my shoe is, but yeah, look at it. Shout out Crocs, bro.
What size is that?
They don't sell at retail. I'll put it that way.
These are size 10 slippers, and they're too big. Because I've told my parents, I love my parents, I've told them I get a new pair every year for Christmas. I tell them every year I'm like a size 9, 9.5, and I always get size 10. It's like my parents wish I was bigger. It's like he'll grow into them. He's 27.
He'll grow into them, yeah.
But like this year, these ones are cheap pairs, because look at like the stitching's already.
They're coming kind of falling apart.
Yeah, and
you
it's been 3 months.
Don't come unstitched, dude.
You're right. You got me there. Just what saying, size are they, Scotty?
Respect Crocs, bro.
Scotty,
they were way overhated in like 2010, and then now people realize how dope they are. So
yes, but what size are they?
I mean, I can tell you. I'm not like trying to be weird about it.
Was that the girl from Proud Family who was really ashamed of her foot size?
It's like these are 16s.
You nearly double mean shoe size.
Yeah, shoe shopping sucks. Let me just tell you.
Are you aware that you are a large person?
Yeah, yes.
Okay, so we'll make sure.
Yeah.
All right, we've been goofing around. Let's end it. Let's send it to the weekend for the people. Any final thoughts?
We ball.
We ball. We'll be back on Monday with a couple game recaps. Please just let's, you know what? No, let's not just hope for survival. Let's hope for some wins. Let's sweep the Boston Bruins. Let's screw our lottery odds. Just that's the Stanley Cup.
Give me back to back dubs against the Bruins.
Let's do it. We'll be back on Monday. Same time, same place. It's your team every day.
Every day.